We're checking in with the City of Milwaukee Health Department here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. In this health crisis and economic recession, how is Milwaukee responding to the inequalities hurting communities of color? What protections are there for vulnerable children in this pandemic and people who work in low-wage essential service jobs? According to new research from the UW-Madison Center on Wisconsin Strategy, people who are being laid off are more likely to be women and more likely to be black and brown. What do you want to ask the city's health commissioner? It's 800-642-1234. Jeanette Kowalik is the commissioner of health for the City of Milwaukee Health Department. Commissioner Kowalik, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good to be back on.
Well, last time we spoke with you, it was April. We were talking about racial disparities in COVID-19 infections and deaths. More Black and Latino residents were dying from COVID. Can you bring us up to date on how you're approaching this issue?
Absolutely. So the Milwaukee County has about 21,000 cases. The city is about 15 or 16,000 of those cases. As far as fatalities, 394 at the county level, 266 belong to the City of Milwaukee. So although our death rate has been low, there's still a number of concerns associated with COVID-19 infection. As far as recovered, that means a whole range of things to different people. Some people have developed new chronic illnesses. And also the ability to expose other people to COVID-19 that may have a hard time fighting off the infection, people that have autoimmune conditions such as myself, fighting cancer, pregnant women, so on and so forth. So we just want to continue to promote prevention by wearing masks, distancing, adequate hygiene, and just limiting congregation as much as possible. But the disparities are still there. We still see the majority of our cases in the City of Milwaukee are Latinx, so that's about 35% of cases. And then for African Americans or Black, it's about 33% of cases. And white is about 17 or 18% of cases. So you can see there's still a disparity in who's getting infected. Even when you look at the maps, you still see most of the cases on the south side, which is where the majority of our Latinx community resides.
Have you done more community outreach, or are you approaching contact tracing in different ways to address this problem?
Sure. So we are working with a variety of community partners. We understand that government isn't always well received due to some of the things our government has done to our communities of color over the years. So it's very important to leverage the power of community-based organizations, federally qualified health centers, and just grassroots initiatives. So just to give you a sense, so we've been working with the 16th Street Community Health Center, Southside Organizing Center, UMOS, you know, it's one of our community testing sites. But just looking for different ways to increase access to masks, outreach, testing, and then access to basic human needs such as groceries and housing and things like that.
So really trying to connect people with resources in their communities so that they are able to stay safe and be able to get the help they need.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned the contact tracing piece. You know, we're looking at innovative ways to be able to connect with people in our community. And we have been able to benefit from internal partnerships within the city, Milwaukee Public Library, some of the Department of Administration folks, and Milwaukee Public School nurses that had helped with contact tracing. But as they're getting ready to phase into reopening, those assignments are shifting. So we're bringing on new staff to fill those roles, of course, making sure we have staff that are able to speak Spanish and other languages for our communities of color. So
you're really seeing, you're going to have to train up pretty quickly here as you see a change out of people on the job of contact tracing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and we understand, too, with this type of work, it does allow for more of a remote or telework type of opportunity. So that might be attractive to some people that maybe are high risk and don't feel comfortable leaving the house, or people that may be retired. We have a number of our retired Milwaukee Health Department nurses that have come back to help us with our COVID-19 response. So just acknowledging them for coming back to help the team during this time of crisis.
We're talking with Milwaukee Health Commissioner Jeanette Kowalik, who is with us to give us a health update from her city. You can join in with your questions. Do you have a child who goes to Milwaukee Public Schools? What are your thoughts about the district's plans? What questions or concerns do you have about children in the classroom? We're at 800-642-1234. Commissioner, the health department released the guidelines and safety checklist earlier this week as many schools prepare to bring students back very soon. What does this checklist entail?
Yes, so that was a labor of love, I would say. A number of school administrators had helped with development of that document, as well as public health staff. And then the NMAC was really, really instrumental. They helped to facilitate a number of conversations. So we were able to get to a point of developing some guidelines or a checklist of how to safely reopen. And that is essentially looking at three different options. So all virtual, hybrid, which is some in person, some virtual, and then in person. So each school should have the ability to move between those different levels of education or instruction due to the circumstances. As of now, if you look at our statistics in the city of Milwaukee and the county, it looks like we're heading in the right direction again. And we can say the mask ordinance has definitely played a part in that, as well as the city of Milwaukee's ability to still issue and maintain orders, and that those orders are tied into school reopening. So right now, schools are required to submit safety plans, and they have to be approved by the health department. It's important for schools to have plans for their individual population, their facilities, because every school is different. So we wanted to honor that. We wanted to look at some of the efforts that had already been made from some of the private and charter schools. And, of course, we've worked very closely with MPS from the beginning. So we have consulted with Dr. Posley and also attended the school board meeting where the plan was up for review.
How do schools handle confirmed or suspected cases?
So right now our concern is the ability for them to be able to detect and pretty much interrupt the chain of transmission for COVID-19. So we have a process where we're looking at schools similar to businesses. The state had issued an update on how do you define an outbreak, and that was essentially two cases for any non-healthcare institution. So we are following that. We're looking at two cases as an official outbreak where a school would have to, depending on where the outbreak is, say if it's in the second grade class or something like that, there would need to be a move back to virtual for a short amount of time while we figure out what the issue is. But every school is supposed to have a COVID coordinator, someone that is monitoring, keeping track of what's happening and working with the health department, so being a liaison to us. And over 3% is when they would have to dial back to virtual. So that's pretty important to distinguish.
We have City of Milwaukee Health Commissioner Jeanette Kowalik with us. Do you have kids who go to Milwaukee Public Schools? What are your thoughts for the district's plans? What concerns, questions do you have about gathering? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Commissioner Kowalik right here on the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
here with us for the morning show as we check in with the City of Milwaukee Health Department. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The latest figures out of the State Department of Health Services, Milwaukee County has 21,396 positive COVID-19 cases, 462 deaths. Are you wearing a mask when you're indoors or when you go places? Did you wear a mask while voting? What do you think of the statewide mask mandate? Join in 800-642-1234. And we have City of Milwaukee Health Commissioner Jeanette Kowalik who stays with us. Commissioner Kowalik, we are talking about schools there. And how will you ensure compliance among all the schools with the checklist and with the guidelines on positive or suspected cases?
So this is part of the deal with the plant, is a commitment to ensuring that there's a safe environment for students and staff. So the school administration really has to make sure that they're sticking to the approved plan. If you stick to the plan, there should be very minimal disease transmission, if any, in the school setting. We know that's difficult once the children and staff are outside of the school. If they're going to parties or doing things like that, that's always problematic. So there needs to be some commitment to avoiding certain types of activities to be able to support having some type of in-person school or hybrid type of situation. So that's again, the point of having these plans is part of it is a commitment to making sure that the environment will be safe.
Well, let's take a call. Jack is joining us from Caledonia. Hi, Jack.
How are you today?
I'm doing all right. What is your question?
Good. Well, here's my comment. When this all started, I had a letter from a retired researcher that had studied the coronavirus since 1976. And he said that, you know, it's a cold virus and vitamin D is critical to, you know, preventing coronavirus. My question is, are people of color, since they don't produce vitamin D as readily as a light-skinned person does in the sun, are they taking supplements? Are they taking a vitamin D supplement? Or being informed about this?
Jack, thank you. Commissioner Kowalik, what is known about taking vitamin D?
Well, personally, my physician has instructed me to increase my vitamin D, and this was years ago, and I definitely felt the difference. When you have autoimmune conditions, it's really important to make sure you're doing whatever it takes to try to prevent any flare-ups or setbacks. But the vitamin D discussion, I do see it increasing in our community, and honestly, there are a number of holistic practitioners and groups that are really promoting vitamin D use, of course, under a physician's care, because, you know, too much can always be a problem, so you want to have the right amount. Of course, you also have to have regular labs to see if what the vitamin D levels are. So, you know, again, this is more of a conversation with one's provider on what is an appropriate level for that person considering their health status.
Commissioner,
thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, for sure, for immunity.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the Democratic National Convention, which gets underway Monday. Earlier this week, we saw DNC organizers asking attendees to sign a pledge agreeing not to go to bars or restaurants in Milwaukee during the convention. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so that was a part of their app. So they developed this app to really help make sure that everybody is safe and that they're able to kind of keep track of if they develop any symptoms or anything like that. So that pledge is something that was included in the app. So the DNC, the planners, whoever developed the app, they included that pledge as a part of that, and that pledge included that restaurants and bars piece. And I know that's been really prickly. And I was getting a number of requests. The mayor's office was getting a number of requests, and we did not consult them on that. So that was on their own.
What safety measures have you been consulting on when it comes to this convention?
Oh, pretty much everything. I mean, the Milwaukee Health Department has been actively involved in DNC planning since last summer. So we, you know, I've been pulling together a number of partners in the area, the state, other federal agencies. which have been wonderful. I mean, if you ever got to work with the Secret Service, I mean, they're pretty awesome. So, it was very, very organized, streamlined. But of course, once COVID hit, we had to pivot, and we were kind of on a wait and see situation where we didn't know if the DNC would still happen or not. And you know, it's going to be more virtual at this point, which I totally support. But, you know, we're in a pandemic, and there's a convention, and there's a big election that's at stake. So we understand the gravity of the situation, but we have been advising and working closely every step of the way for the last year.
We're talking with Milwaukee Health Commissioner Jeanette Kowalik, who's with us as we get a health update from her city. Taking your questions at 800-642-1234. Commissioner, I want to turn to the election earlier this week, the second statewide election during the pandemic. How safe do you view in-person voting this time around?
Well, we definitely learned some lessons from the spring election. You know, that situation was very unusual due to the need to collapse or consolidate a number of polling sites down to 5 mega sites. So it was like 170. This time around, we were able to maintain a number of the sites. The reason for the consolidation was due to the lack of poll workers. Poll workers tend to be retirees, people that would be considered high risk for COVID-19. So we didn't want to put those people in harm's way. So we have brought on a number of other election workers. They're trained. They're going to be ready for November. The mask ordinance adherence was on point. And we had a pretty, I mean, the August election obviously was not, I mean, it's much more smaller than, say, like the November election. But I think now that we've been able to test some of the prevention strategies from the CDC, that we can do it. Now, the one concern I have is Wisconsin weather. So depending on how the weather would be in November, if it's a nice day, if it's a snowy day, that's going to impact our ability to maintain the safety precautions. So.
In what way? Because if people are lining up outdoors or they want to get
Absolutely.
Indoors?
Yeah, there's going to be lines. I mean, you know, the November election is going to be busy, but we are encouraging people to do absentee and mailing ballots and all of that as well. But for people that are going to show up in person, we understand that it's important to have public trust and maintain public trust by showing that we were able to really minimize infection in April, considering the circumstances. And then now with this August election that was earlier this week. And then also the CDC highlighted our efforts in Milwaukee. They did an In the Field or Notes from the Field article about Milwaukee, and that is in their publication, MMWR, or is it Morbidity Mortality Weekly Review. So,
well, let's switch to masks now and start off with Steve joining us in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, in the retail environment, the managers always tell the employees not to enforce, you know, criminal activity such as stealing because of what could happen. And I just wonder what the guest position is on health departments, such as in Madison, where they're trying to shut down a local coffee shop because they're not having their, you know, $10, $11 employees enforce a policy. Wondering what their position is on that. Is that something that they feel should be enforced by $10 an hour employees?
Steve is asking about how do you enforce the mask mandate, Commissioner?
Well, first of all, I'm all about living wages and essential workers, so they should be getting paid more than that. But as far as enforcement, you should always use your judgment. I mean, you don't want to put yourself into harm's way by getting into an altercation with a patron. So definitely using good judgment. But in the city of Milwaukee, we enforce our mask ordinance, our local mask ordinance, through the businesses. We're not ticketing individuals. At this point in time, we're more so looking at businesses. And the way that it works is pretty much based off of complaints or just observation from Milwaukee Health Department staff. So we're the ones enforcing this, not the police department. And what we do is when we see that there is a violation, we educate the store owner or whoever is there, the manager, If we have a repeated complaint or observation, then that moves into a warning letter, which goes into their file when they want to renew the license for their business. And then if they have another complaint or we have an observation, then they get cited. So it's $500 per day for the violation. So it's three strikes and you're out, just like baseball. We want to be graceful about it, make sure everyone has access to masks.
Have you had to use the three-strike rule on any business?
Yeah. We have issued, I think last week we issued our first one.
Well, so. Commissioner Kowalik, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Milwaukee Health Commissioner Jeanette Kowalik. Coming up, we have analysis from St. Norbert College political scientist Wendy Scattergood and getting your thoughts on presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden picking U.S. Senator Kamala Harris of California as his running mate. What do you think of that? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.